welcome to episode 2 of Chasing the Dragonfather, a Crix podcast that still believes that there is gold to be found in the deep dark depths of the Crixian faction. I'm Anthony O'Reilly, and with me I've got...
A long silence.
I'm Ryan. Hello.
I'm Glass. Hello.
We're going to start episode 2 by just having a bit of a chat about the games we played with last week's dojo caster, Lich Lord Asphyxius, the Lich, the man,
yes.
The myth, the legend, and the guy who definitely still has got it.
Yes, I would agree.
So, Ryan, do you want to start us off?
So, I took Lich to the tournament last weekend, but weekend before. Didn't play him because I played Ghostly all day, but I played him at the tournament before, so I'll touch on a few of those games. And the list I play kind of... The list I played and the games I played, it kind of struck me that actually the Cloud Wall, much like playing Haley 3 in Signar, I guess, is that kind of gives you that answer to the strong control seats, because you kind of just go, well, I'll just wait a turn, form up my Cloud Wall, maybe shoot some dudes with some gunslingers to make the Cloud Wall a bit wider, and then just kind of knuckle up and wait it out. Like, played a game against Ragnar, and he's playing a ridiculous list with, like, 5 bouncers and 2 heavies and all sorts of other troll shit. It's like, it's quite predictable, but against, like, if you haven't got a way to stop all those trolls, you're just going to come in the zone feet, and then you can't really touch them, and they're just going to kill everything, and you haven't got enough left in the tank to kill all the trolls. But I was looking at it, and I spent way too long looking at it, but I was like, I think I can kill one of the trolls under Ragnar's feet, and I was like, and then after about 5-10 minutes off my clock, I was like, no point even trying, like, just format the Cloud Wall. Stay back outside, like, the walk to engage threat range, and then just wait it out. And that was kind of a bit of an eye-opener for me.
Yeah, I think it's very easy under strong control feats of any sort to get tunnel vision on, I've got to do something. That was always the mental battle when you're playing against Haley 2, for example. She's the prime example because you can try to do just enough that you spend lots of time trying to figure out if you can kill anything, when really what you need to be doing is backing off and minimizing damage.
Minimizing losses and working out how not to lose on scenario while you're under the effects of her feet, I guess. But it's like, that's the thing with Ragnar, is you can quite easily lose on scenario if you let him get the alpha on you, but then they're trolls, so probably only threat like 10 inches anyway, so it's fine.
That's what killed me when I was playing Ragnar in trolls.
Yeah.
I always had to feat a turn earlier than I wanted to, because...
Yeah.
They could just hang back outside of my threat range.
You never hear it, like, playing against trolls, like, oh, he just charged me out of Nomad, nowhere, I never would have seen it coming.
Anyway, we were talking about the Lich. So, Ryan, you said, I had a good time, but I play Ghost Fleet all the time.
Say that again?
Yeah, you said, I had a good time with the Lich in a tournament last week, but I played the Ghost Fleet all the time. So it wasn't really very constructive. Anto, because since we're talking about the Ghost Fleet, maybe Anto should say how his Lich games went.
A nice convergence of our current obsessions as a podcast. All of my Lich 2 games were Ghost Fleet games.
Yes.
Every game is Ghost Fleet at the moment for me. Well, what I learned from my games with Lich 2 Ghost Fleet is that the things we said last week about what Lich brings to Ghost Fleet are accurate. That the Cloud Wall, especially kind of later on in the game, it's great for protecting pistol wraiths that have taken shots, or the last members of your Revenant crew. Which means that, even more so than the rest of the Ghost Fleet games, you're not getting anywhere close to losing all of your models. Yeah, the Cloud Wall acts in that way, and means that you can continue to play that Lich 2 game of playing a 6 or 7 or 8 turn game, and just keep ticking along, making small gains every turn, and making it hard for them to take back anything like enough to get over the hump of Ghost Fleet. The downside is I felt like I was playing for clock in basically every game, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that as well.
But I felt that Lich wasn't offering me the same stomp on the opponent's neck and finish them off that he would in another list where you've got a feat powered by Banes. That lets you drag the game long with Lich, but then when it gets to the point where you can conclusively finish it, you do. Whereas a feat powered by Black Banes, which is, it's good and nice, charge through things to threaten assassinations, but you're not going to feat and kill 2 heavies. In fact, even with 5 plus D3 Black Banes, you're going to struggle to kill a heavy unless you also parasite it, which means that your parasite's not somewhere else. And that was the kind of ongoing problem I was having with that list is I can parasite one thing at a time, and I can't kill any heavies unless I've parasited. So it's a really slow process. Strong list. I think it's a valid list. But I also don't think it's the best way to play Ghost Fleet or the best way to play Lich.
Yeah.
If I saw it in someone's pair, I'd be like, yep, that's a good list. But you could have a better Lich 2 list, and you could have a better Ghost Fleet list. Right after playing a cluster of games with Lich 2 Ghost Fleet, I played one game with a Denegra Ghost Fleet and went, oh, yeah, this is how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, but also we were not going to talk about Denegra, right?
We're not in any detail, but... we're not going to dojo her in detail anyway, but when the dynamic update dropped and a lot of the boogeymen went away, I suddenly felt the pressure come off me. I was kind of saving Denegra as the build her to beat the boogeymen caster, because she's a caster you can do that with. You know she's going to be generally good, so you build an army that fights the boogeymen. But then the boogeymen all got toned down, and now I feel like I can put Denegra with Ghost Fleet and build something else in that second. So I was able to put those two things together, and then you've got a Ghost Fleet list that can randomly win games with Assassination, so you're not always grinding for time forever. So yeah, Lich 2 Ghost Fleet, it's good. It's good in all the same ways that we discussed last week, that, you know, it's just nearly impossible to finish off. Nowhere at any point did I feel like I was going to lose my army. And that was even in games where there was an amount of remove from play knocking around, but it was never making enough progress.
Mm-hmm. That's also the problem in Mark 2 against Lich 2 in general. I think people go, oh, I've got this small amount of remove from play, and then your opponent would just see it like start of the game and they just kill whatever they wanted to feed back later in the game before you could remove it from play. And then the fact he brings that club where you just play a normal game and the rest of your army still got legs to get through the game.
Another weird thing on the feet that I noticed with Ghost Fleet is because you're bringing back Revenant crew constantly and they're being returned rather than creating new ones, your pool of models that go into the feet actually doesn't grow to having a full feet until really late in the game. Really deep into the game. Like,
oh, that's funny.
That's ridiculous.
I'd love to feet, but I literally only have 3 dead Blackbanes. Everything else has come back.
You could actually kill your Blackbanes yourself to have a feet, right? You know
that? Yeah, that was basically my option, and, you know, that didn't seem like a good one. So,
hey, you don't know how many games I've won with a Lich by just, I don't know, perching over my own army, putting a feet into somebody's face.
Well, that's a lot harder to do as well with the smaller radius.
Yeah.
So keeping Lich safe and not being able to charge your own dudes to get that extra few inches and then losing the size of the base on the front means that you've got to plan to use Lich's feet now a turn ahead and put yourself in a position to do it. And 90% of the time, the right option is to teleport further away and don't die. So you end up even less likely to use your feet until very late in the game.
It kind of segues a little bit to the game I've been playing, or to the games, plural, I've been playing. So my lists with the Lich, we dojoed last time, so it had Desecrators. It had two of each, so two Gunslingers, two Bane Warriors, two Stalkers on Iacos, and then some random crap that I forget. So I changed that list even before I started playing it to put in an art note, because I thought it would be kind of lame, because we talked about it the whole time, that the Lich does need an art note. Then just start playing a game without one, it's a little bit stupid. So I took out one unit of Gunslingers and changed it to an art note.
But what about your symmetry? The beautiful symmetry.
The beautiful symmetry, well, you know, shit happens. I played this into Signar. It was the dreaded melee list with all the horses. My opponent was a bit unexperienced, or not to say quite unexperienced. So I put up a big cloud wall, and instead of walking just some horses into the cloud wall and then shooting the horses and bouncing off the horses, she just stayed away from the cloud wall, which was great for me. But I also did put a few statistics really, let's say, in the nooks and crannies of the cloud wall.
Yeah, nooks work.
Nooks, okay.
I was going to say something dirty.
Yeah, it has something with boobs, right? I always think about boobs.
You said it, not me.
I'm class. I can do whatever the fuck I want. It just comes with being sexy. Anyway, that being said, on the other flank, I played the game with the Stalkers. They have 15-inch tread, and they have stealth. So actually, they out-tread horses. Horses cannot walk up and shoot them. because they have stealth. They will not get in range, and they cannot charge him because they only, they threat 13 inches. So if you put your stalkers at 13 and a half inch, you threat to the horses, but they don't threat to you. The only thing that you have to be wary about is that you don't put something within 16, don't put something else within 16 inches of the horses, because they can shoot that and then bounce off onto your stalkers. But for some odd reason, I managed to not forget. Probably the reaction that my opponent did was not the right reaction. She just put stuff in my threat ranges, and I went in and I killed her army. So that was a good game. And then the second game I played, I thought, why the hell do I need the two desecrators? Because it actually didn't shoot at all. They were just standing there being more or less focus efficient jacks, because they have a lot of focus now because they know how to use it.
Very, very efficiently storing focus for you.
Yeah, you know, the mat 6 is not fantastic. I mean, I think a focus 8 jack would be just as focus efficient, if not more focus efficient, because you don't need to boost everything. You know, as soon as you're hitting death 13 or above, you actually kind of want to boost. And there's a lot of things with defense 13 in Signar. I mean, a lot of things. So I ditched one. I put in Cankerworm and Gorman.
Yep, can't argue with that.
And I then even had points for a second machine wraith. So I had two machine wraiths, which was great. And then because, you know, we're doing this for the podcast, and I only did it for the podcast, I dropped it into Lilith 3. The Lich did a bit Lich things, so it was on two boobs. What's it called again? Outflank, outfight, outlast, something. I chose one of the zones, and I just cleared it. But, you know, I put also the Lich into the zone just to dominate and score 2 points. Well, apparently, what's-her-face, Lilith 3, has got a threat range that comes from fucking downtown. I kind of knew that, but I really didn't respect it enough. My opponent just shot me. So you can ask yourself the question, does the Lich play into Legion, or should you have another drop into Legion? Because, you know, all the clouds and stuff, they work fine on the Legion models, you know, on the horses and Death Stalkers and what all the crap that he has. But on his beast, it doesn't work at all.
No, it's not. I mean, you've got to be really careful with how far back you stand your caster if you're going to use that cloud wall to protect from Deathstalkers. I had one of my games against Legion with Lich, and I found like the cloud walls were only useful insofar as it forced the Deathstalkers to walk forwards and around them, because they're fast enough to get around them.
Yeah.
But then I could get in and get a Deathstalkers, so that was... I was trading a turn of his Deathstalkers killing things for killing them back.
Yeah, and then at that point, it's not awesome. And at that point, you have to be wary of the fact that Lilith 3, she tramples, 12 inches? And then she shoots another 16 or something? That's like 28 inches. So if she is somewhere on the table doing something, you're probably in her threat range.
Yep.
So you can probably not really afford to go down to like one focus. Because in the turn that I went in, I was on 3 focus, and he had like 3 shots left after he killed me. Not on Lilith, obviously, but he had some ball throwers, and I think even an Angelius that shot me. You know, this boosted power as well when you're stationary, that really does a lot of damage.
Yep, focus doesn't go as far as it used to.
No, not at all. Also, another great trick that used to exist against Legion is you take a chicken, you kill the chicken somewhere in the zone, and then you go stand in a wreck. Well, that kind of doesn't work either anymore. Yeah, you have to play differently, I guess. Or maybe I should have taken the kind of the side of the board that had a bigger forest just to hide behind.
Yeah, I think the annoying thing as well is because of his feet, Lich doesn't like to hide behind cover unless you also have access to Pathfinder list.
And I didn't, so... Or I don't have Pathfinder for the Lich. I don't have Saxon. So maybe circling back, Ryan's list that has Saxon is maybe one of the best builds that you can go with. Because you also have another fast unit to put a lot of pressure and to take up a lot of board space. Well, Lilith will have to deal with, and that she'll have to clear before she can come in all the way to you and shoot you.
Yeah, I think the I kind of think that Ryan has already iterated towards kind of one of the better Lich 2 lists. I mean, we tried out, you know, two different things with Ghost Fleet, which was, you know, not best Ghost Fleet, not best Lich. And the Desecrators seem like a nice idea on paper, worth a shot, but it doesn't sound like they did anything for you.
No.
So those points are probably much better spent on a unit to put pressure.
The only thing that really works, and that is just really great, is the two stalkers on Iacos. But it's great in every list. It's
yeah.
I was just going to ask Klaas what he had in the rest of Lich's battle group to get the stalkers on Iacos. Because the only reason I didn't have the stalkers on Iacos is because I had to spend Lich's jack points. That when you ran in with the Desecrators.
Yeah. In my second iteration, I had one Desecrator, an Arc Nodes, and Cankerworm.
I do like Cankerworm.
Yeah,
I do really want to get Iacos Stalkers in there, because the Stalkers are nuts anyway, but Lich hasn't really got the focus to fuel like more than one of them on any given turn, whereas Iacos takes care of both of them, and the extra threat.
The extra threat is what does it, because at that point they got the 15-inch threat out threatens horses.
Yeah.
Me down two stalkers and my opponent down one horse or one unit of horses. I fucking hate horses.
Do you have a specific set of horses in mind or just horses in general?
Yeah, you know who I mean.
Yeah.
Stormlances, damn it.
Stormlances. The only horses.
The only horses yeah, I'm worrying about.
I mean, my Lich opponent, he had actually two units of elk. They're not horses, right? They have antlers, elk, moose. I don't know. Are they moose? Are they elk? Are they reindeer?
They're elks. They're special fantasy elks.
Ah, okay. They threat 14. I mean, they have a walk and shoot stealth models threat of 14 inches, which is still less than stalkers.
Yeah.
But they're not that bad. You know, they're not Stormlances. Anyway, so that was me with the Lich. Final words about him. I must say, I enjoyed playing him. I mean, it's not bad. It's good. It gives you options, but it's not like, oh my God, I love this guy. He has to be in my pairing forever and ever. Maybe also because I never really thought about the Lich that way. I mean, in Mark 2, you had some players who just lived and breathed the Lich.
Me.
But that was not me.
That was definitely me. He was one half of my pairing nearly. No, I really enjoyed playing him again, and he's certainly still a good caster, but I kind of feel the same way, that he's not elbowing into the pairing, but I can see his spot, and I think he has a spot in pairings if you want to do
it. Yeah.
But I think our conclusion from our various dojo is that what we had before we started, which was Ryan's list, pretty much the best way to approach it. A few points different here and there for individual taste, but ultimately I think Ryan was onto what Lich needs to sing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little disappointing that we didn't discover, you know, something magnificent and hidden and unexpected. I mean, it would have been lovely if Desecrators turned out to be the way to go. Now we know.
I do wonder if you could play him non-ghostly, but with Revenant Crew. So then you have the Revenant Crew as your, almost like your line units out in the front behind the clouds, and then you back them up with your Maiden Warriors for your feet, and I think Revenant Crew in their own rights are probably all right, even without the extra Deathbound from Ghost Fleet.
Probably all right, but rolling ones on D3s just makes me so sad that it would just emotionally frustrate me too much to do it. It's why I can't bring myself to play Leviathan.
Also, I guess that's a little bit why the Lich isn't the greatest caster to play mediocre shit with, because he doesn't do a lot for the units. He doesn't really help your Ghost or your Revenant crew.
Certainly not more than he helps other things like Styxus Raiders, because Styxus have everything the Revenant crew has going for them in terms of output. I think if you're going to use Revenant crew as your cloud wall targeting beacons, I think Lich 1's the way to go with that. The Lich 1 cloud wall, which does remove from play, but I step away from that a couple of times just because it's really hard, essentially. Like, there's so many ways to fuck yourself up with that list and mess up the cloud wall for the next turn that I felt like the power level of the list wasn't worth the amount of training time it would take to be good enough with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it makes sense.
I like lists that are hard to learn. That's hard to learn for this really specific trick that you can achieve less well, but more reliably with Lich 2 just by casting 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do it in 10 seconds flat with Lich 2, where it would take you a minute and a half to do it with Lich 1.
True. Agreed. I would call that relevant as well.
And just the test games I was playing with that Lich 1 Cloud Wall were all very staring at the board going, okay, don't screw this up. Oh no, I screwed it up.
You know, there are really good templates to space or cloud walls. There's a template that you can put in between trenchers so that if they pop clouds on top of themselves, that the clouds perfectly align.
Yeah, that kind of stuff was easy enough to get because you just lay down the clouds before at the beginning of the turn where you want them to be.
Yeah, and then you walk your guys
in.
That's what I do with gunslingers as well.
What I found harder was kind of making sure I got the order of activation of all of the bits that were moving up to pop the clouds. You got to get your Deathjack and your Wither Shadow in there and then activate Lich at the right time to go do that without blocking other things in and messing up the rest of my activations. It just had more moving parts than it needed to have to get that effect, you know?
Yeah, I understand. I'm basing my dudes.
Sorry?
I'm putting static grass on a lot of dudes.
I'm currently sat in the middle of arcing 70 models.
Well, I think that is still a very impressive feat that you did. Just painting all the all the models for Smoko. Is it painted?
Basically painted Ghost Fleet in like 10 days.
That's impressive. But is it a painted only tournament or something? Or why is everybody painting so much for Smoko?
I don't know. There's an Iron Gauntlet as well, which I normally quite like because I'm partial to three list formats. So I thought Ghost Fleet would make quite a good section of like a three list format running like Ghost Fleet is one list and then like a Jack Heavy, Scar One or Morton Ebra. So already just with those two lists, your opponent's got like a weird dichotomy in what they've actually got a plan for. Mm-hmm. And then you throw the third list in like Coffin or something. So then your opponent goes, well, I've got this gun line that can deal with a lot of infantry, but I can't draw that because Coven. They might have a list that's really good at smashing heavies, and then you just drop like 60 pirates, and they go, well, I'm trading heavies for Revenant crew that are just coming back.
Yeah. So which casters are you looking for? Or are you looking at for the Iron Gauntlet?
At the moment, it's a toss-up between... I really want to try Morton Ebra, so... I think she's going to be, because in a three-list format, I like to have a Kraken in at least one list, just because it focuses your opponent's attention on their armor Kraken list, especially if you've got an armor buff for it, and Morty's got Spectral Steel, isn't she? So probably Morty with a Kraken, or Scar One with a Kraken, but I really want to try the new tuned-up Derelith. I think it'll probably be Morty. I want to try Ghost Fleet, but I don't want to try it with anyone because I quite like War Shade 3 running the Ghost Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced. I don't think it's the best Ghost Fleet can be, but I'm pretty sure Ghost Fleet is the best War Shade 3 can be because like, the double capitalist just died in Mark 2. Like Soul Hunters are right now, but that point of armor drop is quite significant when you start getting shot by Power 10s and it's only taking like 3 shots to kill your cavalry now rather than 5 or 6, so I don't know. Ghost Shade 3 running the Ghost Fleet's hilarious, so like 4 or 5 games of that and ending any of the games, I'd never lost more than like 10 pirates by the end of the game. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And then what would be your third list?
And what, sorry? And then my third? Because possibly, I got a soft spot for the Coffin, but I don't know if they're getting to be a bit of a crutch, though.
So you're playing Craig's, there's no such thing as a crutch.
If I can find someone with painted Blood Witches and painted Gunslinger, I would probably actually take Lich 2 as my third. And they just rock up with like Lich 2, Morton Ebra, and Ghost Shade 3. People would just look at it and go, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I think if you asked people to name the three Krix casters you take in Iron Gauntlet, they'd go Coven, Denegra,
Lich 3.
Yeah. Lich 3. Lich 3 is certainly very popular. I don't know. I'm not sure how good he really is. He's certainly solid on the table, but feels kind of like a crappy Baldur 2.
Maybe so.
I mean, every now and again, he does beautiful, beautiful things on his like counter feet, or you know, the turn after his feet, and it feels like you're playing the best caster ever when that all goes right. And, you know, his stalkers are amazing, and his brick can be, like, his Deathjack is incredible. But something about it doesn't hang together. It feels like it's too easily countered.
My issue is that, like, the Field Marshal unyielding is great, but the kind of the so-called good Jackson faction are all, they're predominantly one-inch melee, so like Nightmare, Barathrum, Deathjack. So as soon as your opponent starts dropping Reach Heavies, they can deny your unyielding just by being a little bit too far away.
Yeah, that's...
It doesn't sit well.
Very sad. When...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like him in a three-list format is probably fine, and that. But I'm not sure it... Because in a three-list format, you really should be asking questions of your opponent at the list selection stage. And literally, I'm not really sure he does ask any questions.
Well, can you kill defense 18 to Dixies? That's quite a question, I guess.
That's true. Can't fault that.
And there is something to be said for combining Ashen Veil and Starcross.
Yes.
With Unyielding Jacks. Yeah. I mean, they're really tough to kill. It's just, it's a really small footprint of a list that doesn't unfold particularly well. Like, once it has to break the brick and go do stuff, it starts to be easy enough to take apart.
Yeah.
And
it's my experience too.
And that's always my issue with any brick list that can't unfold. That can't unfold or reach out really far. So like, Doomy 2, for example, can brick his way up the board and then explode out very fast and get things done. I don't feel that Lich 3 can. Lich 3 has to take the hit and then hope that you've been fed enough that your counter hit works. But someone who's very cagey with what they feed you, there's not a lot you can do to reach out and take.
Maybe so.
At least with your standard Lich 3 list.
Yeah.
I do have a Lich 3 list that I want to test that involves running 4-8 Stalkers. Because if you get first turn with Lich 3, cast mobility and run your Stalkers forward, you're threatening... Let me run the maths. So 17, or 7 in, 13 in with AD, run 18 inches is 31 inches up the board, and threaten 15, so threaten 46 up the board.
Okay, it's not bad.
Yeah, it seems pretty good.
Like, you realize that you can play that in Ghost Fleet, right?
Yes, I do. That list I the list I built actually coincidentally was a Ghost Fleet.
Yeah, coincidentally, that's what he says.
The list existed before the Theme Force.
Oh, right.
But I put Blackbanes in rather than Satixes because I wanted to be able to have them set up in front of the brick but not be restricting my order of activations. So they sit there projecting the Ashen Veil around and being hard to remove compared to Satixes, which are hard to remove under Ashen Veil, but I think the Incorporeal is even harder to remove and gets to do things like Apparition around and be movable through to let the rest of your army do stuff.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with a brick that's ringed with Satixes is the Satixes always have to go. So that gave you a bit of flex. So it was accidentally Ghost Fleet. And then it was like, oh, look, free plus one to a list that really loves to go first.
Yeah. Good times. Anyway, but that's maybe for a Lich 3 dojo session. Do you have a tournament coming up you want to talk about, Anto?
Not for a little while, no. I'm in maximum money-saving mode, and then I've got a stag at a wedding in March. So that's taking up all of my travel money for the next little while. And then I've got a bit of a question mark on where I'm going to be in May or April, or May and June. Hopefully back in Ireland by then, but I don't know when exactly I'm moving. So I've kind of put big tournaments on hold until then. So it's going to be a case of if local steamrollers pop up, and there's not too many of them planned. There's a couple planned for the Spread Eagle in London that I plan to pop down to.
Yeah, so you can actually meet Ryan and show him who's boss.
We're going to have a Ghost Fleet fight.
Yeah.
Let's not do that mirror match if that happens. Let's just make a gentleman's agreement right now not to do a Ghost Fleet mirror.
Not to play a Ghost Fleet. What if I bring like a Denny 2 Ghost Fleet? I'll stomp your Ghost Fleet in my Denny 2 Ghost Fleet.
I'll take that challenge. I mean, Helmet seems pretty bad, but you can only cast one. Two if you bring Deathjack.
Which is why you actually play Denny 1, because she has the Gunslingers who just remove 6 of the stupid Revenants every turn. That works.
Yeah, that's pretty good into Ghost
Fleet. Actually, Crix has got great RFB. I mean, great RFB.
Yeah, Blood Witches all have it as well.
Yeah.
I want to play anyway, Blood Witches.
The only tournament for me that I want to talk about is WDC. Because, you know, it's WDC. There's just one tournament on the planet. Let's just be honest. It's a WDC. It's only one thing that matters all year, every year. You just train for the WDC. I mean... As a, I'm not playing this year because I'm organizing. So there's not that much I can say because I'm not much to add. We I'm on the selection committee of the Belgian teams, so I decided who was on the teams and was not, or alongside other people, and then decided all by myself. That would have been really funny.
That would have been a great selection weekend of who can bribe you best.
Exactly.
So what kind of bribes are you vulnerable to?
Well, maybe I tell this, but not on a podcast.
yeah, tell me after, and we can...
We'll put it in the preamble.
We can work out how, you know, I can become Belgian, you know, just slide my way onto that team.
Yeah, I have no idea why you would want to. I mean, you can play for Ireland all the time. I mean, you have an Irish passport, so you can play for Ireland. Maybe that didn't occur to you yet, but that's the case.
I'm aware, but I'll be, because of the whole uncertainty of where I am again, one more year of not playing and then I'm back to playing. But that means this year I get to do a second year in a row of just showing up, drinking and heckling people.
That's good. Maybe we should get ourselves a spot on a stream team, you know, so we can just comment on games, the two of us, just making fun of people and saying, oh no, don't go there. Oh shit, that actually worked. And stuff like that all the time. That would be great.
It was loads of fun just to wander around the hall and just chat to folks and heckle members of the Irish team, give them an inspiring Denzel Washington speech. Yeah, it was also really relaxing to actually not be in training for WTC for the whole year.
Yeah, I found that same.
Because for the 2 years before, everything was always about WTC. Every tournament before selection was about proving that you were good enough to be selected. And then everything after that was about getting your two lists down.
Yes.
For the WTC.
Yes.
So taking a year or two off, that's been really nice. Let me play around with lots of weird stuff. Venture into Trolls for a year. Let me play non-optimal Crix stuff to try out the casters I like. So it's been really nice to take that little bit of a break, but still show up for all the drinking and camaraderie, which is the best part of the event.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So probably this year we might even have a Guild Ball tournament alongside WTC, because we have some space in the venue.
Ooh, controversial.
Yeah, we actually made some headway the last few days. So it's looking good for the Guild Ball thing.
It's always the best tournament, though. If anyone hasn't gone to the WTC that's listening, that can afford to do so, and, you know, maybe play the Solo Masters, or maybe just come hang out, it's so worth it, because...
Just going for the experience alone is something, isn't it?
The community, since the WTC started, the community has become, especially the European community, has become so much more interlinked than it was 5 years ago. And then getting to add in, you know, the big international travelers like the US and the Canadians and the Australians and everyone who's coming from outside Europe as well. It's just got, there's no tournament like it for atmosphere.
Yeah.
And especially when it is all being organized by the Belgians who organized the original and best and know exactly how it's done.
Yeah. Who was the guy who was like locked himself in the bathroom? Or was that a Scotsman? I thought it was Irish.
When? Which one?
The first one.
Who locked themselves in the bathroom? I don't know. I was desperately smashed for the entire
time. Yeah, I noticed you were.
I got carried home through the woods by...
Also, didn't they at some point just shove life into your bunker? Or into your room?
Is that how we got in there?
Yeah. He was just really drunk. People didn't know where he was from. So it's like, let's just put him with the Irish. Yeah, also there was a Scot. I think that was a Scottish guy, but I have somebody in my head who looks a lot like Connor, Connor Burnell, but I don't know if Connor himself was at the first
one. Connor wasn't at the first one.
He was not. So it was somebody who looked a little bit like him then, maybe. Anyway, they found him there was like one hostel, like it was like a round building. They found him in the middle of the hostel, in the middle of the night, wearing only boxers, like, I don't know where my room is. Oh, that was so hilarious. We had to, this, the best part about the WTC is always the first morning address by Christoph, who then gets to shame everybody for the stupid things they did. That's just the great best part. That's really so funny. He's really good at that, at the morning shame. So I hope you all guys, I mean, everybody who's listening, Just enough debauchery so we have a lot of shaming, but not too much so we also do get some sleep.
Well, of course, would be awesome. I won't have to get up and play this year, so I will be the ambassador of debauchery this year's WTC if you need someone in that spot.
Okay, Okay, duly noted. Yeah, so we have a more of a WDC prep event. We have a team tournament that is done by county, I would say. We call it province, but it's well comparable to a county anywhere else. And it's the first weekend of April, and it's just teams of five. It's actually, I just want to mention it because we had a great time bringing the different pockets of meta together in Belgium. It's fun. Looking forward because we have now two teams of provinces that weren't there last year. So interesting. Maybe talk about next episode or the next dojo.
Yeah, so we asked on our Facebook page what casters people would want to hear us talk about. And we got lots of responses and lots of different responses. There was no overwhelming thing. So I thought that we could have a chat this week about what unloved Crix casters that we're excited to try out in the future and talk without going into detail on what we'd put in their list or anything, but just the things about those casters that interest us that we want to dig into in the future. I'll start, I guess. I think we're all pretty excited about Mortadebra now that Darylus is fixed.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to come back to around to that at the end. So how about everyone gives one other caster that they're excited to try out? Me personally, I'm excited to try out the other great Kraken caster in Crix, and that's Skartu.
You bitch. She was on the top of my list as well. Damn it.
She's got lots of little things that make her interesting. She is the only person who possibly runs a Kraken better than Mortadebra. Black Spot's strong enough that you incidentally remove infantry with her, so you can build the list around other things. Lots of choices to what models you want to jam into people's faces with the feet. I just really love her, and she's really challenging to play because she dies to a stiff breeze. So, yeah, Skartu I think is maybe top of my list. Not the only one on the list, but we'll go around the table and see what else people have got before I start ranting about all of the casters I want to talk about. So, Klaus, you had Skartu on your list. Who else was on the list?
Yeah, well, I have to cook something up now. I don't know. I think I have a list in my head of the casters I had a bit of a bond with in Mark 2. So on top of that list is definitely the Negra. That's the Negra 1 because that's the only Negra, let's be fair. But, you know, we decided to not talk about her or not that much anyway.
I mean, once we've dojoed everybody else, I guess we'll eventually have to work our way around to her.
I'll keep you to that promise.
Oh, I love her too. I love her to bits. She's my favorite. But she's not that interesting to dojo.
Yeah, exactly. Then Agathia and Iacos, they don't exist. Nobody cares. Out of the Liches, I had a bit of a bond with Lich 3, but not that much. Gorshay 3, maybe not at this point. He's not maybe that interesting because it's probably Ghost Fleet. And as I said to you, but I haven't said to the podcast, my current Ghost Fleet is I have one unit of Revenant crew that I need to assemble. I have two units of Revenant crew that I need to buy. I also have a unit of Black Banes that I still need to buy. On my list is also Mortadebra. I had a good time with Mortadebra in Mark 2. I really enjoyed all the possible flying circusy lists or just shoving lots of slayers into people's faces list. But maybe we get around to her later. I liked Scabbers a lot. Also pre-Colossals. I mean, once they came in, it was really over. And then, yeah, that's about it. I also liked the Witch Coven, also in Mark 2 a little bit. Because I thought they were never really good enough to play. There was always a better option. Mostly called Tenegra, but still. Yeah, I mean, I played a lot of Scar 1, but I didn't really like her. I just played her because she was that good. Sturgis, who doesn't exist. Terminus, I like the axe to face thing, but trolls do that better. So if I wanted axe to face, I just play trolls. And Phanatrax used to suck so badly that I have no bond at all. I don't own the model. I never intended to buy it. It's like, yeah, me.
I've started and stopped so many Phanatrax lists. So I do look forward to when we get to dojoing him so we can maybe work out what a list should look like with him. I also really want to build a Venethrax list because the title of the list that is forever unfinished is Veni Vidi Vici. And I can't turn away from a really good list name.
Yeah, I understand.
What about you, Ryan? What's your
Well, obviously Ghostshade 3 is top of my list at the moment in terms of Ghost Fleet, but like, I played a little bit of him at the tail end of Mark 2, and it was really fun then. Aside from him, though, like, I really want to try some Ghostshade 2, and that you just look at his, you look at his whole toolkit and his like spell list and feet, and between everything he's got going on, you go, he's got all these tools, there must be something there. And it's just finding a, trying to find a list that, that fits the way I want to play him, that isn't just playing for clock all the time, if that makes sense. Games, the games I've played with them have all come down to basically living recursion into mech thrills, at which point you just then feed back whatever was living in the first place. And then your opponent has to choose through it all again. That kind of list, because you're spending the points on the mech thralls and the necrosurgeons and the scrap thralls for your feet, you haven't really got the other tools in the list. So I'm trying to find a way to perhaps build his list to focus around like diesel force and mirage and that kind of stuff instead. Because like in theory, like mirage is, I was looking at it on, even on something like Deathjack, as in being able to sit at the like the front corner of a wall, so you've got cover versus shooting, but then you're close enough to the edge of the wall that you can mirage out into the open to get all your charge lanes open, which is something that you can't really do with any other caster.
Well, what I really want to try with Ghostshade 2 is Soul Hunter's mirage, because that's just glorious. And they're really good feed targets, like, there's a lot of things with Ghostshade 2 that I think Brute Thralls as well, because they come back at full health. I think there might be something there.
I think there's definitely something in Ghostshade, definitely.
And he's got like he's got one of those rare threat extenders as well for infantry, in that he pulls enemy models closer. But that's a very rare thing in Crix. It's something that makes your infantry threat.
And like Occultation as well is just almost like the Holy Grail in Crix of infantry protection, in that. Stealth is, yeah, a lot of people say, well, there's apparently true sight everywhere, and Legion are just running amok in every meta, which is frankly crap, because the games I play, stealth does actually seem to force some choices. Like, even against, like, Legion, having stealth is, you go, well, all their beasts just ignore stealth. It's like, okay, fine, their Ravagor can shoot my Bane Warrior or my Satixis Raider, but it means those two Deathstalkers aren't. Like, I'll take that any day.
There's true sight and Nihilus sight everywhere, but it's all attached to battle group.
Yeah.
So people are perfectly welcome to spend their battle group shots on my.
Ghostshade 2 is he's going to be my pet project post Smogcon, in that I get him painted up and I just thrash out some games. I think there might be something there with Blood Gorges as well, because with Unyielding, they're quite durable, and 15 points for 10 dudes on medium bases that are armor 18 in melee. Excuse me, when you're probably bringing Darrow Wrath along anyway for like your Soul Hunters and your Bane Warriors to get a little bit more threat. So maybe having like a Occultation Tower Wrath sat behind some Blood Gorges in combat, maybe. So you got effectively like armor 20 Blood Gorges just sat in the way.
Stealth Tower Wrath just makes me happy, because people hate him so much anyway.
Yeah.
Anything that makes him harder to kill just gives me joy, because people rage against Tower Wrath.
Yeah. Even though he got more expensive.
He did.
Yeah. He's still very good.
He was wildly undercosted at points.
Yeah. He used to have a nickname in Germany, which was called Mr. 6 Points.
Yeah, the best 6-point solo at 4 points.
Yeah, exactly.
I was looking at Dara Wrath in my Mortar Nebra list, partly because of Stacking Spectral Steel and Mortal Fear, but also because Dara Wrath living, it gives me a sack pawn target for Ragman.
Yeah, that's true.
So all those shitty POW 10s are going on like your armor 17 Darrow Wrath rather than Ragman. I'm not sure it's worth 9 points, but it'd be funny if nothing else.
Well, let's take that segue then into Morta Nebra, because I think she's the caster
we're
all most excited about right now, which is funny because I was scanning back through, you know, our group chat, and I made the comment about 12 hours before that update dropped, that I was like, I really hope that the listeners don't ask us to do Morta Nebra.
Yeah, because she'll just make us sad.
Because it'll make me sad, and 24 hours later, the chat filled up with all of us going, I have all of these ideas for Morta Nebra. I have 4 lists that I built since the update, bro. I'm stoked to talk about her in the next episode.
It's just the fact that Derelith now, whereas before, you're playing them as almost like a shack around your ankle, because you were not necessarily paying points for derelicts, but a jack points reflected the fact you've got derelicts. So you kind of are paying the points, and derelicts was just about as useful as a wet paper bag. Whereas now derelicts is actually really good.
Yeah, like Mortenebra was always like interface made her one of the most focused efficient casters in the
game. Seriously, I never used the interface at all, ever.
Oh, it's so good with colossals.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe you, but she never did.
Add in the tune-up, and you run the numbers on various permutations of a list that can take advantage of it in different ways. She is absurdly focus efficient. It's convergence levels focus efficient.
But
as it should be.
And almost better in some ways, because you can do things like wash 9 or 10 focus equivalent through a colossal, which is bananas.
You got rerolls as well for even more efficiency, so if you've got like your Kraken going in on a Conquest or something, you get you got your pound 19, which is not great. Say your dice minus 1, say. Pot feet, Mortenebra charges forward to get to basically where the Kraken's going to be. And with a 4-inch melee range, you've actually got quite a lot of leeway for
Morty
getting where she needs to, I think. Because I know when I was playing Signa, I played Darius for a while. And actually, just being able to randomly take like 10 attacks with your Colossal just completely changes like the Colossal piece trade, because limited to 3 focus, Colossals are pretty shit at killing other Colossals. When you've got 10 focus or 11 attacks, your Colossal can kill another Colossal just fine.
And you wrap 4-inch reach onto that, and it's not that hard to reach 2 Colossal or 2 heavies.
No, it's not at all.
I mean, it's all the better if you can use that as a counter-strike, because then it's really easy to get. You know, if you're alphaing in, it can be quite hard to manage without putting Mortenebra in danger. But when the battle lines meet and things get mixed up and your Kraken could just walk to a convenient spot, 4-inch reach to 2 places, which can be like 6-7 inches apart, no problem.
Easily,
yeah.
You know, you can fight things on 2 sides of a zone in that way.
Yeah. So that's the reason why I was mentioning the song from Portishead in the preamble, is because Mortenebra gives me a reason to paint my Kraken. I just don't want to paint my Kraken. I can do that better when I don't have the headphones in, because it really fucks with the way I'm singing.
Can't hear yourself properly.
Okay, wait. Let me do this properly. Wait. Hang on. Give me a reason to love you. Give me a reason to paint my Kraken. Just wanna paint my Kraken. There.
Fuck me, man. You have a sexy singing voice.
I know. Everything about me is sexy.
Turns out there is no aspect that is not sexy.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Give me a reason to paint my Kraken.
And Mortenebra did. Either Mortenebra or Epic Scar.
I've seen Epic Scar list with 2 Krakens. It really asks a special question, a specific question. But I'm not sure if it's really good. I like what you're saying with the Kraken here. Do you play other things with the Kraken as well? Or do you just...
Well, like I said, I've got like 4 different lists on lots of different versions. We're going to talk about it in detail for the next cast, so I don't want to dig too deep in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone got any ideas for a sign-off?
No.
I could go with, you have now listened to Chasing the Dragonfather. You've become 1% sexier because of it.
That'll do.
Have a nice day.
That'll do.